So let me share a story with you about smiling. Some years back, I was sitting at an office building with Mike Ferry, sales trainer and coach. We were attending 3 days worth of coaches training, which was basically a job interview for Mike. In the middle of our first day, right after lunch, Mike looked across the table at me and said, "Mark, you've got a great smile. I mean, you've just got an absolutely wonderful smile." And I said, "Well, thanks, Mike. I mean, that's a little weird. What's the point?" "Yeah, I mean, well, thank you, but where are you going with this?" And Mike says, "You know, it's a great smile." He said, "But we don't see it very often." "What do you mean?" And he said, "When I'm talking, when other people are talking, your face has this intense look to it. People think you're angry." I had never heard that feedback before. What Mike explained and what the other coaches shared with me is that my intensity of thought and my seriousness meant that I would crinkle up this part of my forehead, and it looked like I was angry. And I wasn't angry. I was paying close attention because I wanted to get everything. My body language was sending the wrong message. Welcome back to Time Tested Mastery, Life Lesson Sell. I'm your host, Mark Dolan, and today we're diving into a skill that can make or break your success. Excellent communication. Whether you're closing a deal, giving a presentation, or just having a conversation, how you say something often matters more than what you say. Often, what we and others hear is different than the speaker's words were intended to convey. Experts say communication is 7% the words that we use, 38% the way we sound or our tone, and 55% is communicated through body language and other visual clues. And if that surprises you, stick with me because we're going to break it all down. Let's start with the speaking voice. What exactly makes a good speaking voice? A great speaking voice is clear, warm, engaging, and dynamic. It's not about having a deep, radio-perfect tone. It's about using pitch, pace, and rhythm effectively. Now, it's a bit hard to clearly identify what a good speaking voice is. It's much easier to describe a bad one. I think it will become clear what I mean as we move forward. Your tone should match your message. If you want to inspire, speak with energy. If you want to build trust, use a warm, steady tone with empathy. Do you need to demand immediate compliance with a course of action? If so, your tone should convey urgency and authority. Your tone must also mirror and match the needs and expectations of your listener. You want them to receive the message you're sending. An easy example of this would be to recognize that speaking softly and calmly to someone you know is under a tremendous amount of stress or is angry is a wise approach. This would be different than the way you would approach, say, a long-lost friend in a surprise reunion. Think about it. Next, a voice that has a pitch that is too flat is boring. Have you ever heard a long speech that is a monotone? These often have very few pauses, no variation in pitch or tone or speed, and sounds like a drone of a streaming consciousness from the speaker. This often goes on and on and on. Think of writing a long book with no punctuation. Also, if a speaking voice is too high-pitched or squeaks, it can be irritating. It can convey a lack of confidence. It might mean something as simple as being nervous. So my suggestion is to consider and control your pitch for maximum impact. Next, think about the rate of speaking. Talking too fast makes you seem nervous or anxious. Too slow, you risk losing people's attention. Our minds will begin to drift with our short attention spans. So try to find a natural rhythm where your words flow effortlessly, and further, try to mirror the cadence and pitch of your listener to create some magical rapport. If they have spoken to you at all, they have given you a clue as to what pace, volume, and tone will make them comfortable. What I find most useful is to vary your rate of speech. Speed up and then slow down for emphasis. If you vary your delivery, you create an interesting presentation that keeps your listeners on his or her toes. So let's talk about the importance of emphasis. Remember earlier I made the statement that words only account for 7% of the effectiveness of communication. So let's take a simple sentence and I will use it as an example. Here we go. I did not say he beats his wife. Now I know some of you listening right now just had their eyes come sharply into focus. You just heard a phrase that made some of you feel a little uncomfortable. So let me introduce you to the idea of nerve words. I learned this from a wonderful speaker and author about 40 years ago. His name was Hank Trisler, and his book was titled No Bull Selling. Before Hank Trisler, I had been exposed to a few authors and motivational speakers, but nothing captured my attention until I read Hank's book. His delivery was both entertaining and informative. You may still be able to find it as a used book somewhere on Amazon. But in regards to nerve words, he stated that if you use a word that makes someone uncomfortable, you can often tell by their reaction. Their eyes will sharpen and they will break the eye contact if they are really uncomfortable. If you sense your listeners falling asleep, you might try throwing one out there to wake them up. Now, in his example, he used the word sperm. Now, obviously, even today, that is not a word used in polite company. For most people, if you use a nerve word like that, you will get their attention. They will come right back to you, first to try and determine if they heard you right. And then many people will decide right then and there, particularly in a professional setting, if they want to continue the conversation or work with you at all in the future. If you don't want a negative reaction, be careful in your use of nerve words. For now, let's get back to our sentence. I did not say he beats his wife. Now listen to how I say these words differently, and then I'll share with you what I believe the hearer most likely hears differently each time, even though I use exactly the same words. Okay, number one, I did not say he beats his wife. The implication is I didn't say it. The word on the street seems to confirm it. I did not say he beats his wife. I may have implied it with a wink, but I didn't say it. I did not say he beats his wife. Now, I don't think he's beating her, but she's getting some abuse from somewhere. I did not say he beats his wife. I don't think he's beating her, but he is torturing her in various other ways. Another try. I did not say he beats his wife. The implication there is his wife is safe, but keep your wife and daughters away from him. And lastly, I did not say he beats his wife. Now the walls of his house, his pets, and his children are all in shambles, but his wife is doing just fine, thank you. Okay? Think about it. One set of words, six different messages received, simply because of the different delivery of the exact same set of words. This should explain how easy it is to miscommunicate, particularly via text or email. Now, if a speaker or presenter is not skilled or aware of this information, it is easy to send conflicting or unintended messaging. So let's talk about tone shifts. Upswings and downswings. Upswings at the end of a sentence make it sound like a question, or it implies uncertainty. Downswings, on the other hand, convey confidence and authority. Listen to these two examples. We should follow up with him? Sounds a little unsure, huh? We should follow up with him. That sounds confident. Now you see the difference. Your voice shapes perception. The first is more of a question and the second gives a command. So let's switch now and talk about the visual side of communication. When you meet someone, before you even speak, they've already judged you. Eye contact, too little and you seem untrustworthy, too much and it's intimidating or worse. So try to find a natural rhythm. Again, a variation back and forth seems to be appropriate. Just like varying the speed of your speech and volume at different times to keep your listener interested. It is important to investigate your eye contact and how it affects other people. Now, for me personally, I have a habit of looking up to my right when I'm thinking, considering the answer to a question or what the next appropriate question is. It is a habit and part of my communication style. But I've also been told it doesn't present well to some people. That's important to know. So investigate how your smile and body language are being perceived with your coach, mentor, or accountability group. There is always room for improvement. Smile. It's simple but powerful. A genuine smile makes you much more approachable and engaging. So let me share a story with you about smiling. Some years back, I was sitting in an office building with Mike Ferry, sales trainer and coach, and a bunch of other potential coaches for his company. We were attending 3 days worth of coaches training, which was basically a job interview for Mike. In the middle of our first day, right after lunch, Mike looked across the table at me and said, "Mark, you've got a great smile. I mean, you've just got an absolutely wonderful smile." And I said, "Well, thanks, Mike. That's a little weird. What's the point?" "Yeah, I mean, well, thank you, but where are you going with this?" And Mike says, "You know, it's a great smile." He said, "But we don't see it very often." "What do you mean?" And he said, "When I'm talking or when other people are talking, your face has this intense look to it that people think you're angry." I had never heard that feedback before. I had never heard anything other than sometimes I'm intimidating to people. But what Mike explained and what the other coaches shared with me is that my intensity of thought and my seriousness meant that I would crinkle up this part of my forehead and it looked like I was angry. And I wasn't angry. I was interested and intense about what you were sharing. And so I was paying close attention because I wanted to get everything. My body language was sending the wrong message. So make sure that you know what kind of message that your body language and your smile is sending to your audience. So let's talk about grooming. Whether it's business or casual, how you present yourself affects how people listen to you. Posture and space. Standing tall projects confidence. Leaning in slightly when you're talking shows interest. Crossing your arms? That's a defensive posture. It could also mean that you're feeling a little cold. A simple thing to remember, a lot of what we are talking about just needs to be done by mirroring and matching your prospect. An easy trick to the way that you present yourself to others is just try to mirror and match your prospect's vocabulary and speaking style and their body language. If they talk fast and use casual language, match that energy. If they're more formal, adjust accordingly. It builds subconscious rapport. So let's touch on the power of movement and energy in communicating. Have you ever noticed how great speakers move? They don't just stand still, they own the space. So stand and deliver. If you're speaking, move with purpose. Hand gestures should reinforce, not distract, from your message. Any body movement should match the tone you want your voice to convey. Pound your hand, for example, to emphasize a major point in your story. Energy flows where your body goes. So if you want to sound energized, move your body. Your voice will follow, particularly for prospecting on the telephone. Standing and moving brings a lot more energy and power into your voice automatically. This is even more important on the telephone, where you lose 55% of your communication because the visual communication is lost. When you take away body language, tone becomes 76% of communication. That means your energy has to come through in your voice alone. Remember that smiling while you talk actually changes how you sound. Some people suggest putting a mirror in front of you as a reminder to smile when you're on the phone. And you need to use pauses, variation, and clarity even more, because there's no visual reinforcement to your message. One of the biggest challenges in communication is misinterpretation. Remember that simple sentence with 7 different meanings. What if your message to a client in your mind emphasizes different words than the recipient? If their conclusion is different from what you are sending, that's a sign of poor communication. Sometimes it can be a deal killer. Other times it can end a relationship altogether. Text messages and emails in particular can be troublesome. Have you ever gotten a short email or text that sounded really rude and later found out it wasn't exactly what they intended to say? If a communication is important, pick up the phone. If it is critical, do it face-to-face. Zoom, WhatsApp, and FaceTime make it easy today to have face-to-face meetings anywhere and anytime. So don't be lazy with important conversations. Quality communication demands it. So here's some final thoughts and a call to action today. Your challenge for the week. If you are a serious student, record yourself speaking 2 or 3 times. Listen to the sound of your voice, your tone, pitch, and your emphasis. Experiment with pauses and rhythm and emphasis. If you're on the phone a lot, try standing while you're talking. It will improve your energy instantly and move your body while you speak. Now that's it for today, but I want to take a moment to give a big thank you to our show sponsors, Cassie Winterout at M5 Financial. You can reach her at 858-999-1778 and RE/MAX Big Bear Area Experts at 909-866-6161. Their additional contact information can be found in the show notes. And hey, I'd love to hear from you. Send your questions to timetestedmastery@gmail.com or connect with me on social media. And until next time, stand, speak, and communicate with confidence.